Hello and welcome to Finn Sports Fan. I'm your host, Tyler Finberg, and today I have a great episode for you. I'm going to be talking about the NBA playoffs once again as we have finally reached the second round. Two games have tipped off so far in the NBA playoffs in round two. Eight teams are in it. I'll be telling you which teams could possibly go to the next round after this second round. Also, I'll be looking at the fantasy output for all these guys from the Titans. So, basically, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Julio Jones, who just got traded there. Also, A.J. Brown, I'll be looking at him. The Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan. Also, looking at Mike Davis, who's our new running back. Also, looking at Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst, looking at all of them, what they are now that Julio Jones is gone. Also looking at the Packers fantasy outlook, as here we are getting so close to fantasy season, and I'll be updating you with all my fantasy football stuff. I'll also be having a cheat sheet that you guys can print out if you want to. It's not done yet, but I have made a cheat sheet that you guys can look at and see because I have worked hard on it and have been updating it back and forth. So I would love if you would guys check it out once I am done with it. So I'll be right back. Here's a quick word from my sponsor, Anchor. Hello and welcome back to Finn Sports Fan. I'm your host, Tyler Finberg, and let's get to it. Let's start off with the NBA playoffs. Here, the second round has officially started. Utah and LA, the Clippers, are going to be starting us off in the Western Conference. Utah getting a 4-1 victory against Memphis in their last round. The Clippers getting a 4-3 win against Dallas, Game 7, which they came back for 46 points. But Utah, Donovan Mitchell had a very nice performance here in this playoffs. He had 28 points per game, actually 29 points per game. Then he had 3 rebounds and 6 assists, 31 points going to Ja Morant, who they need to add someone to their team, obviously. They need to add somebody who's star, probably, superstar, to this team here in Memphis. They have a lot of potential. They got a win against the Warriors to make it into the playoffs, which was a huge win for Memphis. They have some great young pieces in Jaren Jackson. Dylan Brooks is a defensive mastermind who maybe doesn't put up humongous. Actually, he had 26 points per game, but he was an amazing player on the defensive side. Even though you may not see the stats for his defense, he is an amazing defender. He was one of the only players in the playoffs that could guard Steph Curry and could be guarded on the biggest man. Jaren Jackson, like I said, is a great young piece. Desmond Bane came on surprisingly well. Brandon Clark is another one that is coming on strong. Also, Grayson Allen and Kyle Anderson, both are great players. Jonas Valanciunas is one of your veteran players. He's averaging 15 points a game in this series, but Memphis did not get the best of it. Utah is a great team. I think they have a big chance at winning it. Here, Donovan Mitchell averaging 29 points per game here in the series, like I said, shooting 40% from three. Jordan Clarkson, coming off the bench, has been a very great player, averaging 19 points, same as Bogdanovic. That's the Atlanta Hawks one I'm talking about. But Bojan has had a very nice series. Rudy Gobert on the rebounding side has 13 rebounds per game. Joe Ingles, also another great coming off the bench, and Mike Conley, too. Both teams have a lot of great pieces. Memphis is just, they don't have enough to get it done. I really like what the Jazz have here in for their team, and I think they could really be a competitor. Now let's go to the Clippers and the Mavericks series here. This one went to game seven, two games going to the Mavericks, then two to the Clippers. Let's see, what else was it? Let me find game five. Here it went to the Mavericks, and then Clippers stay alive in game six, and then come back from 46 points in game seven, which was crazy. In this series so far, Kawhi has been outstanding, averaging 33 points a game. He has been outstanding in the playoffs, really paying off. And I think the Clippers really have a chance now. Paul George is finally coming on strong. He's averaging 24 points a game, shooting 31% from three, while also shooting 47 from the field. Reggie Jackson averaging over 10 points. Same as Marcus Morris, who's been an interesting piece. Also really like Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard coming off the bench. Rajon Rondo, the starting point guard, has been a really good add. Even though he doesn't put the points on the board, he is the one that gets – he is the role player on this team. Luka Doncic had an outstanding series. Disappointed to see him go home. 36 points per game for Luka Doncic. Kristaps only 14 points per game. He has been a real disappointment for the Mavericks. He's a good player, just he has not been strong for this team. A really good one, Tim Hardaway, averaging 17 points a game, surprisingly. Also, Jalen Brunson has been interesting this series for the Mavericks as the Clippers get this series, they will take on Utah. Then we also, I'll talk about here, Utah and LA. I think I like the Jazz a lot. I think the winner of this series, Clippers and Jazz, could possibly be representing the West in the finals. I honestly think that could be the team that represents the finals, because Denver and Phoenix were on the other side. Phoenix has a really good squad over there with CP3 and Devin Booker. Also, DeAndre Ayton, really good, and Mikal Bridges has been strong. I just think here, Utah and LA, they could get past Denver and Phoenix easily. No Jamal Murray for Denver. But here, like I said, Denver, they took on Portland before. They're going to be taking on Phoenix. It was a 4-2 series here. Denver, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, 33 points per game. Michael Porter Jr. has been an amazing addition from the 2019 draft. 19 points per game right now. Aaron Gordon, he's been okay. Austin Rivers has been a great replacement so far for Jamal Murray, who's been out. And then Campazzo, Fengdu Campazzo has been a nice addition, nice coming off the bench. And that's really been it for the Nuggets. It's really been those guys who have been the scoring type. Portland, it was Dame Lillard all the way, 35 points per game, 21 points per game for C.J. McCollum. Norman Powell also had a decent series, with averaging 17 points a game, 39% from three. Jusuf Nurkić was a big bust in this series. Carmelo was interesting to watch, and that was really it. Nobody really stepped up besides C.J. McCollum and Norman Powell, who was a great add at the trade deadline, but that was it for the Trailblazers. Denver goes on as they win 4-2. Phoenix took on the Lakers, and I think a lot of people know how this series went. It went all the way to Phoenix. Phoenix so far in this series, 20 or 30 points per game for Devin Booker last series. Really good player. DeAndre Ayton, 16 points per game. Also had 11 rebounds per game for the Suns. Cameron Payne, really a great addition, great shooter for the team, 13 points per game. Chris Paul has been all around, averaging 8 assists per game, which has been huge, while also averaging 10 points a game and four rebounds per game, which has been a great one. Cameron Johnson also all over a stat sheet, and that's really been it. Jay Crowder also had some strong games for the team. and just a lot of players who have been huge. For the Lakers, on the other hand, LeBron, 24 points per game. He was shooting 38% from three and 48% from the field. Anthony Davis had 18 points per game, but with him out, the Lakers are done. Dennis Schroeder did nothing, even though he averaged 15 points a game. He was not useful. Same as Andre Drummond, Kyle Kuzma. It was just a team that fell apart. It was not a great team out there that we saw for the LA Lakers. I really like this series, Denver and Phoenix. I don't think any of them would win the finals. Maybe Phoenix, possibly. But I really like this series in general. I really like it as competitiveness, but I don't like any of these teams going any further in the to the finals at all. So I think you could see your Western Conference champion in the Utah-LA. I don't know when those games tip off. I don't know when they tip off for the first game. But then let's go over to the Eastern Conference, Philly and Washington. This one was a story of Joel Embiid being the beast and also being the hurt. Tobias Harris really took on his job, 25 points per game, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. Joel Embiid, 24 points. He had 7 rebounds and 3 assists, doing a lot for this team, shooting above 60% from the field and 47% from 3. Amazing for him. Ben Simmons averaging 15 points per game. Seth Curry, 16 points per game. A lot of players stepping up. A lot of the role players stepping up for the team. Bradley Beal averaged 30 points per game, 19 points for Russ. Rebounds for Russ, he was averaging a triple-double with 11 rebounds per game and 12 assists per game. Bradley Beal averaging 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Rui Hachimura also averaged 15 points a game. Daniel Gafford, 12 points a game. A really good addition from the trade deadline in a 3-way trade. So very interesting trade there that actually paid off for the Wizards. Next is Madison Square Garden's new villain. It is the Hawks, Trae Young, here in this series. Trae Young had an amazing performance, 30 points per game, 10 assists, and 3 rebounds per game. Bogdan Bogdanović averaged 15 points a game. John Collins, 13 points a game. 11 for DeAndre Hunter, and then 10 for Clint Capela. This team is a really – this is one of the teams that has amazing depth at each position. I really like what they have here in Atlanta. You got amazing – you got your point guard and Trae Young. Also have Kevin – actually, he's not really a point guard. Lou Williams and Chris Dunn as backup point guards. You also have shooting guards and Kevin Huter. And then also Bogdan Bogdanović could also be a shooting guard, same as Lou Williams could be a shooting guard. Small forward, you have DeAndre Hunter. Bogdan, like I said, could be a small forward. Power forward, John Collins, DeAndre, or not really, Delaney Gallinari is more of the power forward. And Clint Capela, Onyeka Okongwu. It's a really good all-around team in Atlanta. New York, on the other hand, D. Rose averaging 20 points a game, 18 points per game for Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett 15 points a game, 14 for Alex Burks, and then 9 for Reggie Bullock. Emmanuel quickly had 6 points per game. Obi Toppin had 7 points per game. A lot of young players for this team that really need to start stepping up. I really like this team, what they can be, but I think they just need to add a piece or two, and they'll be fine. Here, next, we have the Bucks and Heat series, with the Bucks winning, sweeping Giannis, averaging 26 points per game, 22 for Chris Middleton, 16 for Brooke Lopez here, and same as Jrue Holiday, 16 points. Brian Forbes, 15 points per game. Bobby Porter stepped up with 11 points per game. Amazing Milwaukee Bucks team. Miami Gorgon Dragic, 16 points per game. 16 points per game for Bam Adebayo, 15 for Jimmy Butler. And just players like Tyler Hero did not step up, who had 10 points per game. Andre Iguodala, only 4 points a game. Precious Achiuwa, who had a great season, 3 points per game. They needed to step up for this team. It was very sad to see for this team. And then a 4-1 series here for Boston and Brooklyn. Here, Brooklyn, KD averaging 33 points per game. James Harden, 28 points per game. 25 points per game for Kyrie Irving. And 14 points per game for Joe Harris. And it was, like this team, it was some players had off nights and others had amazing. Then some had amazing nights and some didn't. So it was an off and on for this team. But the big three always played outstanding. Jason Tatum averaged 31 points per a game. 18 points per game for Marcus Smart, Evan Fournier. 16 points per game. 13 points a game for Kemba. Tristan Thompson had 11 points per game. Nobody really stepped up for the Celtics. It was a bad all-around performance for Boston. I did not like what they did. Here at Philly and Atlanta, Atlanta already got game one. Trae Young had 35 points in that one. Joel Embiid had 39, playing like his old self after his injury. Philly down one here. And I think they go back to Philly for their next game, if I'm not mistaken. Milwaukee is losing the series so far against Brooklyn, 1-0. KD, 29 points per game, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. Giannis, 34 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists in this game. I would like to see more of Milwaukee after a sweep, I gotta say. I believe next game is in Brooklyn, too. Now, let's go over to the fantasy football outlook for all of these players, because first off, I'm going to start off with Julio Jones. He got traded to Tennessee for a 2022 second round pick, a 2023 fourth round pick, and a sixth rounder, I believe, for Julio Jones. That was a big trade. And let's start off with Julio Jones's outlook after the trade. I had him at wide receiver 25 just because I didn't know if he would actually be on, like, what team he was going to be on. So I just kept him far back here just so, because I knew everyone else's team that they were on. And I moved him all the way up to number 14 on my list after the trade. I really like him here in Tennessee. It's going to be like a little bit better Corey Davis. I really like Corey Davis as a player. He's an amazing player, and I think he's going to be, he just has more experience here and compared to Corey Davis, and has a lot more to know of this game, football. And I really think here, Julio Jones, he gets to be moved up. And obviously, he's not going to be your wide receiver one in your fantasy football league. That's just not going to happen for Julio Jones. I'm just saying, because I believe that average, or not average league, but like the highest usually you go up to in leagues is a 12-person league. So that's like the wide receiver ones. And then wide receiver twos are back here. So he's number two for wide receiver two. I really like Julio Jones now that he's on Tennessee. A big move here. And I also moved him, I believe it was like, it was far back. It was in the 80s for my on rank, and I moved Julio all the way to 47. It was a big move, a big jump now that he's on Tennessee. But now let's look at the quarterbacks that we're going to be talking about. Ryan Tannehill, in particularly, Aaron Rodgers with his situation, if he can trust or if he's going to be a bust. And then Matt Ryan as another one who could be an interesting one now that here we have Julio Jones on the move. So here, we'll start off. Aaron Rodgers, I have had him at number 10 here. I think if we're seeing he's still on Green Bay, we still don't know his situation. But like I said, he's on Green Bay right now. And if he's on Green Bay and decides to play, he could probably get moved up to at least number 8, possibly. He could, because that's how good he would be if we actually knew his situation. Aaron Rodgers, though, right now is number 10 if he decides not to play. Obviously, he'll be moved back. He is a top quarterback, and he's one you could trust. So he's a top one right now. He's top 10, but we'll see what happens to his situation. Ryan Tannehill, I probably need to move him up one or two spots. I probably need to move him to Aaron Rodgers' spot because with Julio, he actually has a wide receiver too. It was going to be Dez Fitzpatrick, but obviously now it's Julio Jones, and that's a big difference, big jump. You still got A.J. Brown. Tight end's a little bit questionable with, I think, Anthony Firkser. I don't know how to say his last name. So here, Ryan Tannehill, I'm probably going to move him up. Right now, he's at number 12. I'm fine where he is right now because I like the quarterbacks that are ahead of him. And I think it could be a debate whether you take Baker or Tannehill first. So we'll see. And then I have Matt Ryan all the way at number 19. I don't really think the trade affects him, but I'm not sure how much that much. Because obviously he played outstanding with Calvin Ridley just there. Mike Davis is a little bit less of a receiving back than Todd Gurley was. I think he'd still catch out of the backfield. I'm pretty sure he can catch out of the backfield. But then you also have Kyle Pitts, Hayden Hurst. So expect him to be like a two tight end system like Arthur Smith did in Tennessee. So I really like Matt Ryan here. I don't think he's a starter, but he's a very solid backup in a normal league. Running backs, Derrick Henry. I've had him at number 2 for running backs and overall. So I really like him a lot here for running backs. I trust him a lot. He's not really injury prone. He's a strong, powerful running back, and I expect him to have a great season, especially with the 17 games. Then we also go to Green Bay, Aaron Jones. He's one that I have here at number 11. He is one that you can't really trust as a running back one. He's a top 12 running back, but you have to have so much trust in him to be your running back one. I think he's a solid running back two. He's going to go later, like running back two area. So Aaron Jones is one to watch out for. Also, I think I have A.J. Dillon up in this rankings. Yeah, I have A.J. Dillon at number 33 from Green Bay, too. And then Atlanta, Mike Davis. I believe he could be a really good player in Atlanta. He played outstanding when Christian McCaffrey was hurt. He's a very solid backup running back in a league. Maybe even coming off the bench. I wouldn't put him at flex just because he can't also receive. And let's go over to let me tell you where I have Mike Davis. I have him at number 23, A.J. Dillon all the way back there at number, 33. Here, let's look at, I have Davante Adams early here at number 4 best receiver available. He is not, if he had his quarterback situation, I think he would still be number 4. I really love Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. DK Metcalf is going to be having a crazy good season. Tyreek Hill is always solid. And I think Davante Adams, once he gets the quarterback situation, and I think he's back at practice since they skipped OTAs, all the receivers in Green Bay. I think he's back. He's going to be solid. It's going to be a little bit different. I expect him to get a little bit less targets than he did last season, especially since they brought in Amari Rodgers in this team. A.J. Brown, I kept him at 6. I think that's a solid position for him. A.J. Brown's a really good player, and I don't think Julio takes any targets away from him at all because he's going to play like he did with Corey Davis. No question about it. He's still at number 6. Calvin Ridley is at number 8, right behind Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown. They're all kind of close to each other. I have AJ Brown on my top 40 here. I have AJ Brown at 22, Justin Jefferson at 25, and then I have Calvin Ridley at 31, all in the top 35. All really good players, especially. I think Calvin Ridley is going to get a lot of targets. I probably will have to move him up. Justin Jefferson might have to be the last of these three. And then let's see. We go to Green Bay. Do I have any more? I believe that is it for the wide receivers. Yep. Tight ends, Kyle Pitts. Could. I think this Julio getting traded away gives you more trust in Kyle Pitts as a fantasy tight end. I think he's a backup. He is in my top 12. I really think he could be an interesting tight end to have. You just have to have a lot of trust in him to be your number one. And I think with Julio gone, it gives me a little more trust to Kyle Pitts being the number one tight end on my team. But I'm not necessarily saying I want him to be my number one. Robert Tonyan, I have him at number 8. I think he is amazing. I think he can definitely be a good player once. Or I think he'd definitely be a good player again. I think it's going to be, he could be one of those players that goes up, down, but we're going to have to see. He had a great season last year. I think he's going to continue as a solid tight end. Let's see. We got Green Bay. I also put Hayden Hurst all the way here at number 27. Yeah, number 27 here. I think Kyle Pitts is going to take all the targets. It might be a two tight end system, but we'll see after how week one. I think you can trust Hayden Hurst as a flex tight end, maybe a backup, but don't trust him as your number one. I'm telling you, don't trust him as your number one. And then underrated tight end, I wouldn't call him your number one tight end to look at. Anthony Frisker, I think he could be a good midseason if you don't want to have two tight ends on your roster right away. He could be available in your league for pickup. Obviously, this is just early in the season, so we don't know what's going to happen, but right now I like Anthony Frisker at number 27, right above Hayden Hurst. Also, I'd like to give out a shout-out to the U.S. men's national team beating Mexico yesterday, 3-2. It's a start of a great team there for the U.S. as Christian Pulisic scored the third goal in the game against Mexico in penalty kicks. He scored the goal after drawing a penalty to get to make the score 3-2. After he was also Christian Pulisic, the first U.S. born player to make it to the Champions League final. He plays for Chelsea. Also scores by Gino Reyna. Let me pull up the scores, who scored for the U.S. as the game was just yesterday. Also, Weston McKennie had a goal for the U.S. So that was it for the United States as they won the game against Mexico, which was a big rivalry. And they finished gold in the place in the Nations League. I don't know how to say the league they were playing in. So congrats to the U.S. men's team for finally getting a win, as it seems like they have not been great over the last few years. So congrats to the U.S. men's national team. And thank you so much for listening. Make sure to share Finsport Spin. I'm Tyler Finberg. Continue listening to my podcast as we will be doing more fantasy stuff. So thank you so much. I'm Tyler Finberg. Until next time.